in the house of the Lord tonight. And I just sitting here thinking, going back in my mind, oh, it's a long, long time now. You know, you don't think you'll see 50, and then pretty soon you wonder where it went. The only thing you don't know where it went is the fact you're accumulating the age, you know, and then you got to take it off. And it's kind of a bad existence we have, but looking a long way back, now at least it seems a long, long time, I guess about 30 years, we used to be highly critical of the people who just wanted to know the word. We said, now, see, they're dead, just dead word. I think the Baptists are one of our prime targets, you know, way, way back in those days. Very critical of them, and we always liked our sensations. We'd go to church, and we didn't really too much care about the word well. Oh, we were glad it was there, you know, to sort of take a nail out of the keg once in a while, so we could hang our head on it. That nail didn't work. We'd pull another nail out and wham that in the wall. They're sending gold nails out now to hang your hat on if you're sending money. We didn't have that when I was a kid, but we missed a trick there somewhere because it's the thing that brought this forth. I mean, it had to come from somewhere. Things don't just come into being. I mean, that's silly. That's like these people who believe in evolution instead of God just came. Well, now these gold nails that you hang your promises on and send money for and noted pocketbooks, now that just didn't come. That came from the same place we came from. It's the perverted part of it, grew into this. But we used to like, I guess it was like the people today. They say we had a great time. The preacher never even preached. We had such a good time. And think of the night these cents, you know, how we used to come together and we liked the sensation, you know. And, you know, this kind of meeting would not obtain at all from our backgrounds. I don't know, I think most of us come from a sort of a emotional background, which is all right if it's, you know, the right kind of emotion. You just got to recognize that. That's all there is to it. But now today we can come together and we get our satisfaction out of the word. And it's apart from sensation. It's apart from visual observation is founded in the Lord. We're learning what it is to be like Abraham when, as the older he got, the more convinced he was that he was the father of multitudes. That's the type, that actually presages senility, not stupidity, but insanity, you know, to the world. They say that's Abraham. He's bad enough when he was Abraham. He was nothing then. But now he's going around saying he's Abraham. He's worse shape than ever now. That's carrying things too far, see? But Abraham stood in the Word. So it's nice to stand on the Word and to come together for the Word. Now, I don't believe in unanointed preaching. That'd be kind of ridiculous. You know, anybody can take the book and murder it. You know, they either add to it or take from it. If you take from it, you take away the life. If you add to it, you smother the life. You got to stay with it. See, that's how it is. Like you take away one of the little valves out of your heart, you just get blue in the face. You're taking away your life. You add fat to your heart and you smother. You can't add. This is our life. You can't add to it. You can't take away it. But you got to have the word the way the word is not say, well, bless God, my parents taught me to believe in this book cover to cover, and I'm like the little old lady that even believes the covers. Now, so say, oh, tell me what that word is. What are you going to do? Give them a creed or a dogma or some book that your grandpappy or your church authorities nailed down for you? Supposing they say wrong. See? Supposing they don't say what God said, where does that put you? See? That's... Now, I hope you caught something there. This will help you to understand why there's a word and a message for every age. This whole book is not for this age. See? I believe in the whole book. So what? I can go one better. The devil doesn't only believe in it. He knows a whole lot more than most folk, and he's in hot water. Doesn't do him a bit of good. See, there's a revealed word for each day. See, the Bible says when the word of God is fulfilled, it passes away. It says that not one jot or one tittle will pass away till it be fulfilled. When it's fulfilled, it's finished. As Brother Branham said, when the word's been fulfilled, it rots. Right? Sure, that's might as well. That's a good, strong. I like that better in my statement. That's a good, strong, I like strong things. And that's a good, strong statement, see? It's over. You'll never revive Isaiah 53. That's finished. See, you try to bring that back, never work. As I told Brother Thompson the other day, I got sold immediately against what the preachers preached and the teachers taught that Ezekiel was the millennium. How in the name of common sense can you have the blood of bulls and goats sacrificed for sins when Jesus paid it all? Right away you know that it doesn't go in that direction. See, Brother Branham always said, now look, watch where it's going. Now if it ends up over here, as you're over here, you know you made a mistake. Come on right back. Now start over. You see, every age has got a message. Where's George? Here he is. I'll give you the, I said I'd show you something in my Bible. You can't come up. You mean you can't see it from there, so I'll read it to you. It's, how did I find it? It's my memory. It's a great memory. I'm going to will it to science to see how anybody could fail so bad. They just may get something. Maybe another book I wrote it in, too. It's got to be somewhere. Just hold with me now until I find it here. I thumbed these poor old pages till they all rip apart. Yes, it's in Titus where I thought it was. I couldn't find it. It's in Titus 1 and 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Literal translation. But in his own private strategic seasons, he made known his word in a proclamation. And that's exactly what Brother Branham taught in the token on page 18. It's what he was teaching us. It was so hard to get that it's a message in each age. See? Now remember what Jesus did on the road to Emmaus. He began at Moses and all the prophets concerning that which concerned him at that time. He opened the whole book. Now we're getting from Genesis to Revelation that which concerns us at this time. Remember how neatly the Lord turned Brother Branham's revelation down, or revelation off, when Brother Branham wanted to preach in the seven trumpets? The Lord said, no, you can't do it. The bride will have been gone when this comes into being. You don't need it. Instead, he preached the Feast of the Trumpets, which was relevant. Right? So there is a message for every age. And we're glad we have that message. Now, before I get into a little message on something that you hear, if I ever get to it, I want to, if you don't mind, if you don't feel too bad, about me talking a little bit more about spiritual perversion, because many times something is said which is not thoroughly clarified. And I want to go into that a little bit. Remember, it was Eve that opened the door to the problem in the first, or the beginning. Now, you recall that she was not a part of the original creation, right? But she was a part of the original, when she was in Adam as the feminine spirit. See? But she wasn't part of that physical manifested creation. And then later on, God separated put Adam into a body, making him sensate so he could till the soil and be a sensate being. And then later on, he separated then the feminine part from Adam, taking out the female spirit by means of a rib and multiplying those cells. In other words, Eve was nothing but Adam plus multiplied cells, a part of Adam plus multiplied cells. And it was this woman who was able, because of her not being a part of the original, she was open to being perverted. See? And she took the perverted word, and when she took the perverted word, that put her in a place where she could not stand. See? She had to fall. Now, we brought up the question, how was it that the early church fell under the perverted word, away from that word which Paul so roundly brought to the people's attention by saying, if any man thinks he's a proper spiritual, let him admit that what I say is the commandment of God. He stood up and he said, count yourselves and count yourselves fast. He said, I'm the only one that has that word and brought you that word. And I stand, if I change one word, let me be accursed. Just like an angel from God, let it be accursed. If he changes one word, see? Now, why did this come in? All right. It has to come in through the very same way it originally came in. See? Which is by something not in the original. Follow me? Okay. We go to the book of Ephesians. Now, you don't mind me going to this, do you? If you don't mind me going over it, that's a miserable thing to teach. Certainly, you got no choice whether you mind it or not. I'm going to go over it. But I'll try to be a little polite, and it's just not becoming. It may be becoming, but it's not arrived. See? In the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, in the 8th verse, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, what were those gifts? Verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, this is what he gave. He gave to the bride, to the church, for their perfecting, for the perfecting of the saints, he gave men. He gave men, ordained, elected men. And these men had their authority vested in them due to an office which enabled them, see, to carry out this function. And the function was the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, that's building it up, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, Brother Branham preached on that from Peter, of course, the stature of a perfect man. Now, you'll notice that Paul said here that God gave men, vested men, officed men, titled men, who were to be used in this regard. And, of course, these men would have their authority in the Word of God, because it says in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God. Notice they rule. Many people don't like that. I'm not having any man rule over me. Okay, you anarchist, you Laodicean. It was nice having met you. Nice having met you. I hope you make out there as good as you think you made out here, but I've got news for you. You're not going to make it. See? Not because I say so. Not because I say so. The Word says so. When Peter was called before the Lord, he said, lovest thou me more than these? He didn't say, as the Catholic version says, rule my sheep, rule my sheep, rule my sheep. Nor as the Protestant version says, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. It says, feed my sheep, rule my sheep, feed my sheep. See? And how do you do it? By the Word of God. These vested ministers are those who, having the Holy Ghost, having the revelation for their day, feed the revealed Word for their day, and thereby secure the sheep in the fold that they will stand in that perfection. See? Now, you'll notice in here, however, that when Paul spoke to Timothy, he told him to ordain elders. Now, where in the world can you find anything about an elder over here in the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter? They're not in the original creation. Now, pardon that expression. You know what I meant when I said it. I'm typing it. They're not in the original bestowment of gifts to the church. See? But notice what the Bible says about them. In the 3rd chapter of 1 Timothy. We'll go there first of all. And this is a true saying. Now notice what Paul says about it. He never said it was thus saith the Lord either. He said it was a true saying. Now he's got something here that he's speaking not by permission actually, and yet in a way it could be by permission, but it's by God. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now, it doesn't say that a man can desire the office of an apostle, or a prophet, or a teacher, or an evangelist, or a pastor. Now, you say, why do you put them in that order, Brother Bale? Well, I'm glad you asked the question, because it's answered over here in the book of 1 Corinthians. It's either the 12th or 14th chapter, and I'll soon know which it is. Must be the 12th. And it says in the 12th chapter, verse 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. Then Brother Branham said, evangelists, pastors. Notice in Ephesians, Paul was not enumerating, but in 1 Corinthians he was. And Brother Branham finished it for us and showed us the truth. Now notice, as I said, none of these men mentioned in the what we call the fivefold ministry, the elective offices. Election, of course, in God's ordination. The elder is not there, and you cannot seek those offices. You are just as much sovereignly ordained to be what you are in one of those offices as you're ordained to be anything else, as you're ordained to be a child of God or reprobated. See? Now, but it says here if a man desires the office of a bishop, but you cannot desire to be a pastor, evangelist, or a teacher, or an apostle, or a prophet. You can't desire that. It's impossible. You've got to be born to it. See, if the prophet's born to it, the rest got to be born to it. If the apostle's born to it, separated mother womb, he wasn't even born again. He was what you might call a Christ hater and destroying the bride, which, as we showed you, in the white throne judgment, there will be many who come and get eternal life because they were good to the bride. How terrible then that a man should be found murdering the very bride of Christ, which was Paul. Yet he was born to be an apostle to the very bride. See? You can't desire that. You've got to be born to it. It's elected. Speaking now in terms of election, called out to it in the foreknowledge of God. Now it says here that if you desire the office, you desire a good thing. You see, that you desire a good work. Now you can desire this. Now the question, now we showed you here that there were certain qualifications if met. You could be an adjunct or an aide in the, that word, not managerial, but the ministerial group. And I don't want to sound like I'm like a Nicolaitan here. Now, I'm just trying to get you scriptural terms, you know, to the ordained gifts of the church. They're ordained gifts. And the deacons also, you can be a deacon. And now, if you want to have the office of deacon, you can qualify for that. And it's a lot like an elder. And he's got to have one wife, rules his children, and their own house as well. And they have used the office of the deacon well, purchased themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Jesus Christ. And then over here again, let me see, in Titus, the first chapter, Paul says here, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." Now, the word ordain means to appoint or constitute, and the word appoint to Timothy is gave charge. So Paul said that thou should set in order the things that are wanting, and appoint or constitute elders in every city as I have given thee a charge. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, lover of good men, sober, just, holding, temperate, holding fast the faith, and so on. Notice the qualifications that Paul lays down are the qualifications he lays down also in the book of Timothy. And these men are, notice here, I was just going to bring this to your attention. It doesn't say here that this man desires the office. This looks like Timothy's got to look around to find him. And when he finds qualified men, he could say, "Now, have you ever felt that you'd like to help in the work of the Lord?" Now, we're going to go back here now to the book of Acts and see where this little group here called elders, and they're not called deacons now, they're called elders. Now, the deacon may be just about the same as the elder in this category, could well be, I'm not going to say. All I know is that in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, we're going to find out what Paul has to say to these about these elders. In the 17th verse, "And from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." Now, let's turn a little further over in that same 20th chapter. And notice in verse 25, "And now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Therefore, I take you to record this day," so put it on a record, "that I am pure from the blood of all men." Why? "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." See? In everything that God had for that age, Paul laid it out. He said, "I haven't shunned to lay it all before you." How many men can say that today? Why, they're so scared to preach the whole word of God lest they lose their church. And I've been around recently, and I don't say this to discredit anybody, but some preacher said, "Well, I believe this message, Brother Vail." And in my mind, I can just see him sitting on the fence. And he doesn't know just way to make a quick turn. Whether now, if it gets a little bit close to where Brother Branham's got ready, he just jump quick. Well, by the time that's vindicated, it's going to be too late. He left you jumping too late. All right, Joe, the other side. And one fellow sort of wants to sneak up in his congregation, you know. He said he teaches the message, and the first thing when he preached the message, they said it went against short hair and showed them how to leave their hair long. Within 3 weeks, his wife cut their daughter's hair, and all he did was cry about it. And then his sister playing the organ or piano gets up, and then she cuts her hair. And then he pastors that bunch of goats. can't keep your house. He couldn't even qualify for an elder. That's grounds for a divorce. Whether you believe it or not. There's a woman saying, I can do what I want. That's what Eve did. Let's see what these elders do the same thing. Sure, Brother Branham had to come. They said the same thing like Naaman. They said to Naaman, go down and dip in the old river Jordan there seven times. You'll come up like a little baby. And they said, nuts to that. Give us some big, mighty thing worthy of our stature. Bless God. I'm a general. Glory to God. Well, he said, okay, then keep her leprosy. He said to women, let your hair grow and take off those slacks and shorts and everything else you're putting on. Look like a female instead of a pervert or something or other. From some other side of the town. Used to be the other side of the town, the old harlot lived, and they hung a red lantern out there, and you sort of snuck over there. Now, boy, she goes prating down the street. The fanciest, most authoritative, and best looked upon woman in town. See? Then she get in the pulpit and preach. Sure, he said, just show some big thing. Well, listen, the Word of God said us the little things. See? You'll throw everything you got for the little thing. All right, now in this here, Paul said, I haven't shunned to declaring you the whole counsel of God, which, as I said, is certainly more than most people are trying to get across to people today. Well, we're going to preach some little thing and see how they react. Throw the book at them. And you'll watch a good reaction. I know what I'm talking about. I've proved this thing. I'm not up here as a preacher trying to tell you something I haven't proved. I've proved it. Throw the book at them. I wanted to see how people would react to sinners. If they ever got the lowdown that you couldn't come up here on your own and accept Jesus Christ, you sit back there in your seat and accept him, you had to be called to God. And if God didn't grant you repentance, you are reprobate. See, you couldn't even crawl to God unless he granted you repentance from the foundation of the world. Then turn around and preach there's no eternal hell, so they'd feel real good now. Oh, boy, you need no eternal hell. Oh, I can sin the way I want to. I threw the book at him. You and I found out? I found when they came overnight, they were so mature, they acted better than Christians, so-called, after 20 years of hogwash and twiddle. I'm not telling you, I'm telling you the truth. You can't bring in people on a perverted word and expect to have a true word, born child of God. Peter the Apostle warned them. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible. You can get born again of corrupted word and be a corrupted seed. And you'll never make it. And stand back and they look, listen. Do you think Paul preached any different from these epistles? I read a little book while I got some articles some time ago, and they tried to tell you that Peter stood up and after Pentecost. You know that great dissertation of Pentecost, and afterward, you know, typing out Almighty God through Scripture. I'll get back in the text later on, don't worry. I got to talk about this because I feel good about it. Peter up there on Pentecost and after Pentecost, bringing the whole Word of God categorically showing who Jesus Christ was and saying God had made this Jesus whom you've set aside both Lord and Christ. He's it. He's all three of them. And then they try to tell you that Peter would go around preaching some little simple sermon, you know, like Brother Moody and some of those fellows. They're taking a little text and departing from it and telling them stories. And I read what they said about Peter and I said, I can't stand this. Let me go to the Bible where Peter really wrote it. Do you think Peter or Paul preached different than what he wrote? Why, he'd be a hypocrite if he did. He laid it on, and brother, sister, he laid it on the trowel. Why? Because he had a big God who was a big Holy Ghost who could reveal the truth. Sure. In fact, it got so thick, Peter said, don't you know Paul preaches so hard that you can arrest what he said, and they'll do it to their own destruction. Now, how can you arrest milk and water? Somebody's wrong and we're not. Glory to God. It's nice to know you're right. I'm with Paul. Paul's and so are you. You're with me and we're with Brother Brandon. He was with Paul. He had vindication. All right, verse 28. He said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. Notice the Holy Ghost made him overseer. But remember, they weren't part of that original. See? Yes, sir. Eve was to be the mother of all living. She sure was, too. But she wasn't part of that original. She was the open door to falling. Notice, it said, to feed the church of God, which God had purchased with his own blood. He purchased with his own blood. For this I know. Now, notice now, this I know. He said, I've got a revelation. You won't like it, I'm going to tell you right now, he said. that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Notice, also of your own selves, you elders, men shall arise speaking perverse things. Speaking what? Perverted things. To draw away disciples after them. Notice they were the disciples of Paul. What is a disciple? He's a learner. They had learned from Paul. And now they're going to learn from these men who teach a perverted doctrine, creeds and dogmas. As Brother Branham said, the Apostles' Creed. Where can you find that in the Bible? See? My, you'd be surprised how you can get bound up on what you're taught. And you don't even know you're being taught it. You know, one of those old Catholic Apostle Creed deals you get wound up in, where it says, you're sort of speaking about the fact that Jesus died and rose again the third day, ascended up to heaven, seated in the right hand of majesty on high, and then it says, Mary, Mother, Jesus, pray for us. Slips it right in there. My mother used to pray that year in and year out. After us kids got finished, they said, hey, Mama, hold it. Do you believe the Virgin Mary can pray? She said, no. We said, then why do you pray? She scratched her head, and because she prayed for 50 years, she thought it must be okay. She said, I guess she can pray for us. We said, oh, for Pete's sake. You can be sincere. Absolutely. You can be going down the right trail, so to speak. See? And something you were taught will just throw you right now from that word. See? Now, people are taught these creeds and dogmas. Now, let's just hold our fingers there, if you like, and we'll go to the book of Second Corinthians to see it now. Paul said, for I am jealous over you, the godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, notice, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled he through his subtlety. Subtlety is the product of the mind getting its own ends in the flesh. It's a cunningness with an ulterior motive. And the servant beguiled Eve, appealing to her mind, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And then Paul tells what's going to happen. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, and they did, they said there's three of them. Paul said, he's all of them. Pretty soon, the leaven was hidden in the three bushels of meal. The Trinitarian dogma came into existence. Why? They said, there's three of them. There's another one. See? He said, I'm the Father. They said, hold it, there's another one. Didn't work. Which we have not preached. Paul didn't preach three gods, he preached one God. If you receive another spirit, which you have not received. Well, they said, there's a second one. Jesus said his own spirit would come down. He said the Father's spirit would come down. He said the Comforter. It's one spirit. It's the same spirit that indwelled Jesus Christ that came back. See? But they got another one figured out. Another gospel. Oh, there are dozens of gospels since then. See, Paul knew it was going to happen. Now, the point I'm driving at is this. It is ordained of God that this is how the perverted word comes into the church, and it came in. The question now arises in people's minds. Should we then disband elders? Should we get rid of them? Should there be such a thing as not having elders and deacons? No. No. Get the picture here. Just because he fell, not being part of that original creation, does that make every woman a mucked up, dirty, vile creature? No. No. Women have just as much a sanctified part in the body of Jesus Christ and make up just as much as the bride as a male does. Of course, they don't have any office. Can't preach, can't be an elder, can't be a deaconess. They've got to leave that aside. They have their ministries, which are far different. See? Now let's face it. Eve listened because she was a weaker vessel. See? She was the one that was made to, she thought she would fall and did fall. See? You don't get rid of women because of that. No. You remember though, God by grace restores her. And she comes typing the church down the ages. Now you've got the same thing with the elders. You don't get rid of the elders. See? Just because this opened the door to the perverted word doesn't mean elders are perverted, and doesn't mean a man who wants to serve God and is capable of serving God should not serve God in the church. See? If a man feels the call of God, and if some of them don't feel that they should do it, the pastor was well authoritative in his realm, that he would look around and he would find the brethren which line up the best. A once married man, ruining his family well, experienced person, the word elder means the oldest, the word bishop is the office, and you're mature in Christ, and the preacher may come to you and say, now, we would like some assistance in the body of the Lord here in this little group. We need someone who can teach, someone who can help carry burdens, someone who can deal with the people in the congregation. Now, I see by your life that you're a fine example, and we'd like to have you ordained as an elder. Now, this is fine. See? But remember, this opens the door. But because it opened the door, you don't take a machine gun and shoot all the women and say, bless God, now we're going to get the millennium, get rid of them women. You don't do that with elders. If you did, you wouldn't solve a thing. See? You wouldn't solve a thing. Because why? Someone else would come in. And you know, you just don't listen to somebody who has no weight. If you listen to somebody who has no weight in the house of God, oh my, you're worse shape than I thought. Or worse shape than you thought. Or worse shape than we all thought. Because you just don't listen to someone who doesn't have weight. See? And by that I mean there has got to be intrinsic manifested qualities and characteristics. See? In a man. Before you listen. So, someone would come in. And pretty soon, people would be listening. Whether you made him an elder or not, he'd just sort of be a leader. See right there. But you can see now where this came from. So, if you've had any ideas that, well, now, I got to watch Brother so-and-so because he's an elder deacon or so-and-so, well, don't worry about that. The thing to do is watch yourselves. That's all. Because Brother Branham distinctly warned us that either somebody would come in or of ourselves. See? And even when he said to love each other and to do this and do that and even name names, he invariably closed his thoughts by saying, but you won't do it. Sure. He said, oh Lord, don't let them make a cult of what I've taught. But he said, you will. You've got to hear it all the way through. Now, what does this mean? It just means what he always said. Just watch out for yourself. Don't try to force things. Don't split amongst yourselves. This is one reason why I'll listen to my brethren any time of the day. And I hate to go to a church where there's a spirit, where there's division amongst them. And pretty soon you get one group sorrowfully calling themselves the second cousins or something. You know, it's really mock humility. Because if you believe that you're not a first cousin or a second cousin, but you're really bride, though you differ a great deal from the other person, there's no room then for you to look down upon yourself and feel sorry for yourself and feel this and that. Just stand up in your faith. See? Just don't try to push it. That's one thing the Bible warned the last time, that a man should get up or anybody try to push. Just preach sweet and talk nice. Be the best you can. Be a godly person. But he said, Brother Branham warned us, don't be divided. See, Christ, before he died, he told the disciples to love each other. Didn't he? Brother Branham before death said, love each other. So you see where the error came. See? Now remember, there's no error in what Brother Branham taught us. The verbatim account, in my estimation, I say again on my estimation because I'm quoting directly, he said the food was stored up on the tapes. That's why I warned you a year or two ago. If I tell you something that he told me in private, and I can't back it by a tape, you just be polite. See, well, there's that old hypocrite Bailey. Done told us not to listen. He's asking to listen now. So you see where I stand? If I tell you something, it's you can listen, but you better make sure it's on a tape or put it to one side way over there. See? Just leave it one side. Because it's going to be on that tape. See, otherwise we've got to start looking to a little group now to lead us in. Because he spoke to many of us. That wouldn't work. What is that? That'd be constituting elders again, wouldn't it? There it is, to lead the people astray. No, I don't believe anybody wants to lead anybody astray. But remember, as long as we're human, there's a danger. Eve didn't need to fall, but she did. See? None of us want to jeopardize ourselves or leave off the good word Brother Branham taught us. No, but the danger's there. Right, that's why he said, now don't try to reach for it. Don't try to figure it. Wow, I got a pretty analytical mind. I could take my pencil right now and start figuring. And I've got pretty good numerology, too. Maybe I can make that work. No, won't work at all. Don't try to sharpen your pencil and make it work. See? Just stick to the word and go right along. If you're called a pastor, be a pastor. An elder, be an elder. If you're going to be a teacher, be a teacher. Be the best you can. If you're just going to be a member of the church, just be the best you can. All of these things, be the best you can. Because just as sure as we're here tonight, brother, sister, remember this. You know as well as I do, there divisions come. See? Divisions come, but let us not be a part of that division. Let the division come by itself naturally, which will be a word separation. Because remember, the next showdown coming is Mount Zion, which is the rapture. See, I don't believe none of us here can prove a point. The best I can do is say, I feel what I see by scriptures. Brother Branham would get up and tell us, he said, this which always puzzled me, I see it slanting into the scripture. There it is, slanting into it. When we see by revelation what he taught us, slant into the scripture, then if that's not safe ground, I don't know what safe ground is. See? So just watch with the word. As one brother once clearly said, if Brother Branham came to bring you back to that word, then he said, get the word out. See? Get it out. He told you he can only hit the highlights, and that's right, and he did. He hit the tall spots, which I feel were very good. Now, there's I said a while ago when I was here preaching on the resurrection. I brought out a thought of what is it that is coming at the end of this age in order that death will be swallowed up in victory. And you'll notice it says in the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, speaking of this thought, let's read it here, beginning at verse 51. Behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. Now, that's no mystery right there. You know that. I mean, what's mystery there? Everybody's not going to die, but everybody's going to get changed. That's no mystery. That's a plain, a hard statement of fact, but it was thrown in here on the chapter of the resurrection, which means you got to die and then come up. See? And you can't have your change until you die. Now, somebody says, well, Paul, if that's the case, everybody in the bride has got to die, to get the resurrected body. He said, hold it. No, there's a mystery there. Now, what's the mystery? There's some big mystery here. because the Bible says, Paul said it, it's appointed unto men once to die. It is reserved. It is laid up in store that you're going to die. There's just one thing you know for sure when you're born. You're going to die. His old brother Carter, the old Assembly of God preacher out of England, said, right above your mirror, born to die. See? I'm born to be a world beater, said one fellow. I'm born to be a great person. You're born to die. And after that, the judgment. Sobering thought, see? Notice, in a moment, in twinkling eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So it's going to be an instantaneous thing. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. Actually, it's incorruptibility, that which cannot corrupt. And this mortal must put on immortality, that which cannot cannot die. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed in victory. Now you notice in here that the question is concerning those who are living and are going to have their bodies changed, but they themselves not die. Because remember, resurrection speaks of a resurgence. Your body's got to go down. But you're going to get the same change. It's going to happen. Just bingo. There it is. See? But notice what he said about this. He didn't say this which has corrupted, which has gone down in the grave. It says this corruptible. He's speaking of his own body. See? Looking forward to the time when other people standing in their bodies will not die like Paul's got to die. See? And this mortal. Now what does the word corruptible mean? That which corrupts or actually wears out a little at a time until it is made useless. It's like you taking and, let's say you got a piece of furniture in your house. And you don't notice what the cat's doing to your furniture. It, the claws are kind of sharp, and it's digging in there, but you don't notice it. And then the claws keep digging in. And they keep digging in and wearing away the fabric. You see, a little at a time, or just take your sleeve tonight and do this and just keep doing this. Keep it up. You wear a hole in it. See? This is life, see? Wearing away. Little at a time. Little at a time. Not a sudden heart attack, but just going downhill. Little at a time. See, wearing out. Now the word mortar from the Greek word sarton, the one that wears out or fades away. That picture on the wall there, Brother Branham, the Brother Organbright took. The one that looks like a death's head almost is what the angel Lord told Brother Branham, referred to the fact of the outer man perishing, fading. See? Cheeks getting wizened. The eyes hardening and the sight failing. And, maybe malnutrition sets in and the flesh begins to waste off the body. See? Now, immortality is that which never dies, stays eternally. It refers to the gods. This is a Greek noun. Refers also to the glory after death. See, that's immortality. Incorruptibility means that which you can't wear it out. See, that which can't. Now, right now, we don't have it. No, sir. No, sir, we don't have it. Those old sore throats we get, you know, and the aches and pains down here, and man, that's... We're wearing out, honey. I can tell you right now, my old sacroiliac ain't sacroiliac anymore, as it used to be. It's bothersome, and you know what I'm talking about. I mean, a few years ago, I read a book one time about a fellow that was very sick, and he was playing out until the age of 54. He got a hold of himself, and he began to feel good, and he lived to be about 98 and just passed on, you know. I thought, boy, maybe I'll start at 54 years of age, so I am 54 and I start it. Oh, boy, I want to tell you, talk about creaking joints. I'll never make it to 98. It says this corruptible. He's speaking of his own body. See? Looking forward to the time when other people standing in their bodies will not die like Paul's got to die, see? And this mortal. Now, what does the word corruptible mean? That which corrupts or actually wears out a little at a time until it is made useless. It's like you taking and, well, let's say you got a piece of furniture in your house. And you don't notice what the cat's doing to your furniture. Its claws are kind of sharp and it's digging in there, but you don't notice it. And then the claws keep digging in. And they keep digging in and wearing away the fabric. You see, a little at a time. Or just take your sleeve tonight and do this and just keep doing this. Keep it up. You wear a hole in it. See? This is life, see? Wearing away. Little at a time. Little at a time. Not a sudden heart attack, but just going downhill. Little at a time. See, wearing out. Now, the word mortar from the Greek word sarton, the one that wears out or fades away. That picture on the wall there, Brother Branham, the Brother Organbright took. The one that looks like a death's head almost is what the angel Lord told Brother Branham, referred to the fact of the outer man perishing, fading. See? Cheeks getting wizened. The eyes hardening and the sight failing. Maybe malnutrition sets in and the flesh begins to waste off the body. See? Now, immortality is that which never dies, stays eternally. It refers to the gods. This is a Greek noun. Refers also to the glory after death. See, that's immortality. Incorruptibility means that which you can't wear it out. See, that which can't. Now, right now, we don't have it. No, sir. No, sir, we don't have it. Those old sore throats we get, you know, and the aches and pains down here, and man, that's... We're wearing out, honey. I can tell you right now, my old sacroiliac ain't sacroiliac anymore, as it used to be. It's bothersome, and you know what I'm talking about. I mean, a few years ago, I read a book one time about a fellow that was very sick, and he was playing out until the age of 54. He got a hold of himself, and he began to feel good, and he lived to be about 98 and just passed on, you know. I thought, boy, maybe I'll start at 54 years of age, so I am 54 and I start it. Oh, boy, I want to tell you, talk about creaking joints. I'll never make it to 98. The Lord does, dearie. I've had it. I'm fading, wearing out, see? Haven't got it. My whole nature, my whole predisposition by the way I've been born, my nature all, says I've got to fade, I've got to wear out, see? Yes, sir, even a little at a time. Now, this corruptible, that's what I'm corrupting now, see, wearing away, will put on that which cannot be. In other words, something's got to happen, so there won't there this you couldn't be attacked to do this. And the mortal would be the same way, won't fade away. Now, it says that this corruptible must put on incorruptibility, that which cannot be worn away. No matter how you use it, little at a time won't wear away. And this mortal, this which fades, put on that which cannot fade. Notice it's going to put it on. Now, this put on is, as I mentioned, it's like a sinking into a garment or as an investor when you put it on. But notice, in the Greek it says, I cover something that pre-existed or already was with the substance of new material. See? I'm going to cover up what was with something which wasn't there before. Then it says, when I do that, then shall be brought to pass. The word brought means I receive into existence. Something comes into existence, and this which comes into existence in the Greek, and you'll be surprised how many ways you can use this word. An exceeding growth, watch now, involving perception. See? Now it's an inner garment you're putting on. That's in the Greek. It's not an outer garment now, it's an inner garment. And what's coming into existence, this which you put on, coming to pass now, brought into existence, is an exceeding growth involving perception. Now, when considering the time element, it says, you shall receive the beginning of knowledge and understanding. You start it then. The beginning. In other words, it's giving you an absolute fresh start at this end time. Whatever it is. Applied to the person, it means their origin. In mathematics, it's the taking of total stock and then moving on afresh. Like adding up all your numbers and starting over. Starting on. See, that's all part of the message. You had to take stock with a due. And also, which is very peculiar, all that can be shaken is shaken. Until it's taken out of the way. In other words, this will literally shake what shouldn't be there, removing it, leaving only that which was right in the first place. Now, how many of us, as we stood before the prophet and heard him preach, didn't have a part of it? We all had a little part of it, unless we were sinners with no knowledge at all. See? But there was a part of it that couldn't stay. See? It had to be shaken out of the way. See, because you can't have a part of error. You've got to come into the full revelation. And this is revelation. We're talking about, see? Now, I remember many things. I had partly right. For instance, I believed in the election and reprobation, understood sovereignty of God to a point. I understood part of the how there couldn't be an eternal a lake of fire for wicked, as though they were eternally lost in the sense of living in that condition eternally, as even as the saints of God live in glory with the Lord, and so on, and many things that I had in part. But there were some things that absolutely were error. Absolutely error. Had no foundation in the Word whatsoever, was not in the mind of God, was merely a creed and a dogma, thereby voiding the effect of the Word of God in my behalf, which in this end time wanted to ensure the rapture, was destroying the very rapture. The very word of God I was standing on to believe the rapture was cut away by my misunderstanding, see? The falsity of my knowledge in the Word, see? Now, notice what it says over here in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, concerning that being shaken. In the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Now, remember that Paul here is speaking concerning men who speak as well as God. He speaks of Moses speaking. He speaks of Abel having spoken, the blood of Abel, and so on. And now in verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn from him that speaketh in heaven. Now that word speak from Abel having spoken, the blood of Abel and so on. And now in verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn from him that speaketh in heaven. Now that word speak from heaven doesn't necessarily mean speak from heaven. It could be that one which is from heaven. See? Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. See? Now, that didn't happen when Jesus was on earth. The only time we know the earth really shook was the time that on Mount Sinai shook. There was an earthquake, of course, after Calvary. But the sun was darkened. But the earth wasn't shaken. The earth shaking wasn't there at that time. Yet once more I shake not earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God, accepted with reverence and godly fear, for our God is consuming fire. To me, as I look at this, there is, if this is not actually an end-time message pronunciation, it certainly types it. That God speaking once more. And God did speak from heaven by the mighty manifestation of the thunders which were opened in the seventh seal. See, now, he tells you here that this which we're putting on, see, this which we're putting on, as I described to you in the Greek, involves perception, see, receiving the beginning of knowledge and understanding, and now with it, it's taking of stock, adding up where you stand, starting afresh. That's what we did. It's like a fresh start. And just like, well, isn't there supposed to be a latter rain? Sure. Certainly. There's a Spirit of God coming upon the Word to bring forth the crop. That's like a fresh start, like a fresh deluge. Here we were stagnating. We never would have made it. Anyway, you know as well as I do, the Scripture said if God didn't send Elijah, the bride's in such a condition, she'd just die with the rest of them. Well, this is a fresh start. You talk about old Brother Mueller telling you how that he believes he was born again many years ago, and after sort of foundering, he came into what he described as a rebirth of the rebirth. That's what we've got. That's what it's like, see? I'm just using these terms to help our understanding. Now, notice this, the prophet brought us in the seven thunders, the seventh sealed revelation, deliberately it shakes away all of that. And he said that for the first time in 2,000 years, the Holy Ghost has been unbound from the creeds and dogmas which bound it. So what? He can do the work of the latter rain, the Holy Ghost now, can fall upon the crop and bring it in maturity, which is a word matured bride. Knowing no creeds and dogmas, knowing only the Christ who appears to her, which is the revealed word, see? And this comes about by the last day prophet. Again, it says involves a knowledge. I learn, I understand. But listen, the ability to separate and discern. Now, where does that found? I sure just love to pick up the Greek, because I don't know the first thing about it until I read what the scholars say, then I can pick their brains. And that's just the best thing I know to do. And it says here in the third chapter of Malachi and verse 18, then you shall turn back, and then when you turn back, only then will you discern between righteousness and wickedness. See? So it says here, and between him that serves God and him that serveth not God. And Brother Branham said, as God gave him the writing in that spoken word's original seal, see, that this end-time prophet would plant the seed of the entire Bible that we need to know from serpent seed to the prophet in the former reign. And the prophet in the former reign is where he stands out, and by his ministry, which is a sign of the hand, see, brings on these carnal impersonators to manifest their folly. See? And then when the world goes looking at them, and everybody's saying, well, look at those men. Well, by their fruits you know them, but But now, can't they? Must be a god, because look at the mighty power they got. The same trick that women pulled on people when women got in the pulpit and they preached with what seemed to be great anointing and great power and great demonstration, like a McPherson and a Kuhlman and all the rest of them, and little ones too, little Amy's, little Kuhlmans, around the country. Sure. And the people said, now, that's got to be a god. Why? Because they were so blind, there was no discernment. See? Now, what is this that brings discernment? It is that which we put on. See? Now, we're leaving this old corruptible. You know, there's a people right today, they're like old Abraham. When he believed God, and the Lord revealed that mighty word to him, and he's going to receive the promised son. Why? It wasn't, I don't believe it, that Fritz said it. He was Abraham Jr. But he got that which was necessary by that faith in God, that it wouldn't be long now going down that road. He'd be a young man. See? And this is what this word does to us. It gives us this. Which though we're growing older, minute by minute, we're fading even at this moment. That's all right. One of these days it'll be a reverse process. But it won't be long in doing it. Because when this comes to a full revelation, it says in a moment. See, you'll be changed. But in the meantime, this revelation keeps moving on and on and on. Until we come to the place where we'll be changed in our very atoms. And we'll have a glorified body, just like the scripture says. Now, notice it says, I learn, I understand, the ability to separate and discern, and to put the whole thing and the parts together. To put together, in other words, able to put together that which is written. What is it for this day? The Bible's coming into focus. And the people of God. See, it's coming right in. Revelation. What the prophet gave us, making us ready. And this same phrase is a peculiar phrase, because it says, this is beyond the acme. See? This is beyond the very acme. See, people striving. Striving and striving. But now, there's something greater. What's beyond the acme? Well, we go to 1 Corinthians 13, we'll find it. It says here, love is the greatest of all. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Right? But notice now, in verse 8 of 13, share and love never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Their tongues, they fail. They'll cease. Knowledge, it'll vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which in part is done. What's perfect? The perfectly revealed word for this day. See? And when that happens, that's why your gift ministries have to cease. So, Brother Dale, isn't it all right to lean on those? No, sir. No, sir. When you come into this, you leave that alone. Just go on right on. See? See, and then he says here, when that which is perfect comes, the perfect marriage and divorce and question and answers, both absolutely categorically state the perfection is the revealed word. When that which is come, then that which in part is done away. That's the restoration of gifts, so called. Now notice, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now listen, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. What are we coming face to face with? The revealed word, which is Jesus the Christ. Your mate, your bridegroom. See? But then shall I, and then I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. As Brother Branham said, the bride's going to know who she is. She's ready for the rapture. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Sure, the greatest of these is love. But there's something greater, which is beyond the acme, and that is this revelation of the end time. Because love won't get you there. You've got to go back to being a restored virgin, a virgin of the Word. See, no, she comes to him with no seed, except his seed. That's why the Bible distinctly says back there that the wife of Isaac was a virgin and neither had any man known her. Now, I realize that the literal physical meaning of a virgin is that no man has known her. See? But it says in there she was a virgin and neither had any man known her. And you know, I think I brought it out here on
one occasion or better, the fact that when a man said, my wife was not a virgin when I got her, he was to complain to the parents and they would bring the menstrual cloth. See? Proving what? Not that she hadn't been touched by somebody. See? But that she wasn't pregnant by somebody else's seed when he got her. See? We are all sinners. There's no bride that was born a perfect one from the mother's womb. Why, we're all sinners. We've all been tampered with. We all messed up. But in that day, if we stand with his seed alone, we're going to be bound to make it. See? Certainly, it's got to be his life, and his life is that word. Because everything that God brought into existence in life, he brought by the word. See? Because he is the word. Follow me? Now, that perfect has come. Sure. We're right here today in that perfect, that which you've heard has come. Now, let me show you what I read over in 1 John the other day, in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. And it said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, every fundamental student, and Brother Branham himself said, before you can be caught up to that supper, you know, caught up and be in his presence there, and the marriage supper and all, you got to be changed. The Bible says that. See? But the point is, the fundamentalist doesn't realize what this word says here. You've got to see him first to be caught up. See? That's an appearing. Now, how does he appear to the people this day? Well, thank God, the prophet told us. That shows that we've got to come again with the same spirit that was on John. He introduced the Messiah. And how will the Messiah, the people that's believing in going, unless they're confident in the word, to know what he is? Daniel said the wise will know, but the foolish or unwise wouldn't know. They shall know their God. Now how, notice, now how he shall appear, or the way that he shall appear in the last days, is to bring the people back to the word so that the bride will know her husband, know her mate, the revealed word. Seek, behold your God. Only a prophet can say, behold your God. There he is in that book. There he is, the revealed word. What is this revealed word? Why, everybody argues and fusses about it. Some of the old hearts shall say, well, bless your heart, you're predestinated. And you're reprobated or elected. And there's no special means to an end. All we have is a hope, because we think we see the truth, and on judgment day we'll know if we're right or wrong. And they carried that so far, it came antinomianism, where they said, what do you worry about being born again or anything? Only the judgment can tell. So whether you're elect, now, if you're elect, you made it. If you're reprobate, you haven't made it. So just preach the word and never mind about any personal experience with God. See? That's what they said. And now some other Baptists came along, and they're not hard shell. These Baptists aren't hard shell, and they say, no, sirree, there's no such thing as election. They said, sure, well, we admit there's election. Of course, you were predestinated in Christ. And that's how it is. God gave his son, and he saw that in this son, all who came, that election. In other words, it's a very impersonal thing. If the Son brings eternal life, and you come into the Son, you've got it. That's election. It was in him. The Bible doesn't say that. No, sir, the Bible doesn't say it, but are we going to prove that on our own? Who's vindicated? See? We have the voice of the sign. There's nothing in this world that there's not a meaning to it. Everything has a meaning. Look, I'll show you everything's got a meaning. It's just like everything has a measurement. All right, I'm going to talk about a pair of glasses. That's a measurement. I'll talk about a Kleenex. Two of them, that's two measurements. That's a measurement right there. I talk about a microphone. That's a measurement. You follow me? Everything is a measurement. There's nothing that's not. See? All right. Every word also is a measurement. See? It's like the blueprint. And then you see spoon? There's a spoon. We take the spoon and show you. Same what we have here now, in the Word of God. We can reduce the whole thing to word. Prophet comes on the scene with the words of Almighty God. He can absolutely bring you a complete measurement and a revelation of Jesus Christ as it were. Which he does. And here's what Brother Branham mentioned. This actually came to pass. The bride at this time knows her mate. Why? Now, when she knows her mate, see, the revelation is coming. This is what Paul spoke of back here then in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. He said here, this corruptible must put in corruption. That which cannot be corrupted, he's got to put it on. All right, what can't corrupt? Being born again of the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. See? Only the bride is born of that incorruptible. Now, why must this bride... All right, what can't corrupt? Being born again of the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. See? Only the bride is born of that incorruptible. Now, why must this bride put on that which cannot corrupt? Or the pure, unadulterated Word of God? Because if she doesn't, she'll die. There's no recourse for her. She absolutely got to die. Now, what's going to get her back to restoration? The very thing that took her away, which was what? Perverted Word. She's got to get back to being an unperverted woman. That's why Brother Branham had to talk so much about women. Not running down women. Most of them didn't understand it, but our sisters do. And all they're doing is typing. They're standing as a type, women are. For the church. Perverted church. See? And you talk about perverted. Like I mentioned, I think the other day, was in the pulpit here in Ottawa, I can't remember. I picked up one of those mad magazines that sometimes they're very cute because they have they're satirical. It's like a real parody on what's going on. And so this fellow, I don't know who he was, but he was making a dagger-like thrust at the two great lovers, you know, Richard Burton and the great Elizabeth Taylor, on the sandpiper. He calls the sinpiper. And you ought to get her to read it, because it talks about a preacher that either was seduced by one or he seduced her. I don't know just how it went. But anyway, the idea was he used to preach against evil. But he found out that evil was not entirely evil. It was a little, evil good. Or good evil. And then he found out whether it's evil good, then he found out good evil. See? And that's a perfect picture of today. See? There's nobody who'll stand up and call a spade a spade. See? They're scared of the women. Scared of anything. Scared of the government. Except a prophet or a few people who will listen to a prophet have enough nerve to stand up and call evil evil and good good. See? And you can't know which is which unless the Holy Ghost falls upon you as it fell upon the prophet getting a discernment. Because you don't know evil from good and good from evil, the Bible says so, and who serves God and who doesn't. See? Now, that's turning back to God. Now, if that turns you back to God, it means everybody has turned away from God. Now, who will admit to that? They won't admit. Why? They say we got more God than ever. Look at the gifts we got. See why Brother Branham had to hammer on these gifts and things and show you what the trouble is? Because the world says, well, now that's God. That is God. That's God amongst the people. A-M-O-O-N-G-S-T. Amongst. But not in the people. God in the people will bring forth the Word people. And there'll be no short hair and short skirts and frowsy looking floosies and God knows what and perverted men up there preaching like little sissy namby-pambies and what have you. Why, the last I heard, even several years ago, up in Ohio where I live, they already had a circle of homosexual Pentecostal preachers. That's how far it's gone. Exercise and give. I talked to a friend of mine today or last night about a man. I won't call his name, but I could call his name and he could do what he wants about it, but I can prove what I'm talking about. All I do is subpoena witnesses. He'd bring me to court. I'd bring my witnesses. And he's supposed to have had a tremendous healing, and he did too. His daddy was in a wreck, and he was almost killed. They were giving up to die. And this boy was absolutely fantastically healed by the power of God. And he went preaching, and I've seen him on a platform. We'd have a vision like Brother Branham and just almost pass out, you know, like after Brother Branham had several. And he was the filthiest mouth sex monger in the country. Preachers had to kick him out. That's I'm going to name names. I won't name the name the preacher did it, but I'll name the name the preacher kicked him out. Paul Pino up there in Indiana. And the traveling evangelist, I know he's so embarrassed by what the man said in his presence in front of his wife. Praying in the name of Jesus Christ and seeing signs and wonders. See? But brother, sister, this is what we had to have.
We're not knowing in part anymore. No, sir, we're not knowing in part. No, sir, we don't have to worry and wonder anymore who's committing iniquity and who's doing right. We don't wonder anymore. We know by their fruits, and I'm not talking about love and sweet little gentle spirits, because you can have all you want of those, because even Jesus said the lying prophet was a wolf in sheep's clothing. He looked like a sheep. He talked like one. He acted like one. We're going beyond love, brother, sister. We're going to the acme. That which is beyond the acme. We're going right to the place, bless your heart, when our dear loved ones have gone on. They go up there to meet a body which is reserved in heaven, the Bible. I don't understand this any more than Brother Branham could explain it. But he explained the way the Word said it, and there it is. I've seen it, but didn't know what. I still don't know anything about it, except it says it. We're not crying to be unclothed, but clothed upon. When we leave here, there's something waiting for us. You slip into that until you come down here and get your body. But bless God, we'll have our body, and that thing will slip down and slip into us. Amen. It never happened before. Glory to God, it'll never happen again. Yes, sir. What did this? Yes, sir. What did it? Elijah had to come first. And then people say we don't need him. Yes, sir. I want to tell you, I needed him so bad I could wish to more, but I got no proof. And I don't say that he will. I doubt it. I don't believe that he will, but I wish he were back here tomorrow to give us some more. But I won't fight anybody who believes it. They can believe what they want. I'll not fight about it, because they're not vindicated. I'm not vindicated. Who's to know? Who's to know? I don't know all the answers, but I know one thing. Everything Brother Branham taught that I get my hands on slides right in this Word, I stand at it. And then I stand with everything. I can't see slide in the Word until I see slide in. Because I'm not up here as though I got it all. I don't. But this slid right in the Word. Just what he said. Talk about a private conversation. I didn't have it, but a friend of mine, one day talking to Brother Branham, he said this great, tremendous thing. The greatest thing ever is going to happen. Well, this Bible says right here what it is right here. That which is beyond the acme. He said, I warn you, it's not love. And I warn you, it's not character. Now, everybody's got to have, if you're a child of God, you're going to have character, brother, sister. But this isn't going to do it. Because you can be the sweetest, most gracious character person in the world, and you'll miss it a million miles. Because you just as sweetly turned down the prophet of God. I was at a dinner table not long ago. I'm not going to preach. I've just been talking. I'll let you go pretty quick. I was up there in Denver at a dinner table, and I want to tell you, poor Kenny Southwick and me, that's where I think my trouble came the other day. My stomach bothered me. But a week later, she opened her mouth. Her good dear brother up there began talking to her a little bit. She sat there, you know, her locks cut off, and the older she got, you know, the more she cut them. You know how they do? You women who used to go to a beauty parlor, the older you got, the more snip, snip, snap, snap, until you might as well take a razor and get you on. Yeah, they said the older you get, the more you got to cut your hair. See? Don't you see how it fits? Listen, you can't turn anywhere but you see the handwriting on the wall. That's where I get my... pardon you, it's a vulgar expression. That's where I get my kicks. Maybe I should say thrill. I guess that's a better word, but I'm just a vulgar type of person. As you let her fly the way I think of it. But I get my real lifts in life by just seeing these things. Now, anyway, we sat at this table, and we, you know, a first cafeteria up there in Denver, a pretty good cafeteria like down here. Had her plates loaded up, and this dear brother said to this sister, so-called, about the message, and she said, well, she said, let's just not talk about that. Let's just talk about Jesus. Right then my stomach boing, and I knew if I ate a piece of ice cream or a piece of butter, it'd go chung chung like a chunk of lead. So I dumped it, pushed the meat in, and pushed the things in, and pushed the lettuce in, and this in. My son go, boy. And Kenny Southworth's face got so red like little girl's jacket back there, and he's going, and I never saw a guy, I thought I could eat that. You never saw a baked potato and a hunk of meat go, choo, choo, choo. And I thought he's going to be sick. And he was, too. He left that table, his stomach going, and his heart going, and my stomach going, heart going, and she's sitting there, no son, and mincing around. We'd talk about Jesus. And I thought, yes, you. And I didn't say a word. Now, too busy eating, because my stomach goes, boom, boom. You know, something like a balancer got off your motor, you know. That is, there it is on every hand. Now, she'll talk about going down, visiting the bad girls and the bad boys, and then talking about Christ and talking about miracles and miss him a million miles. Not because I say so, brother, sister. Because all I got to say, you worship God? Yes. How many gods you got? Well, there's three, of course. Well, that God says only one. Well, there's got to be three. How come? If you got three gods, one was born. God can't get born. Protestants say they're not Catholics. Protestants say that three measures of meal weren't hidden in their dogma. Why, the three measures of meal Trinitarian gospel is absolutely diabolic and hellish, because they're saying the same thing whether they believe or not. Mary was the mother of God. If Jesus was not a man, and if he was God, then Mary was the mother of God. The Bible says even today there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Doesn't say he's God. Says he's a man. He was a man. Every inch a man. He was the last man. He was the second Adam. And God came and dwelt that temple. And as I've been searching for this, and I got it. I can show you out there. Grassy Lake, is it in California? Brother Branham preached on Jehovah Jireh and other places. He said God ripped that body apart. Throw away the spirit. Put the body in the grave. Then raise the body up. And set it on the throne. That body isn't God. It's the body of God. But the body's not God. I'm going to preach a sermon then. I just tipped my hand a little bit what I'm going to do. I'm going to have 2 hours on just Jesus Christ being a man. When I get finished with what God's going to show me, because he's shown me a few things, I know I'm going to have faith like I never had it before. I know I'm going to understand justification, know a little bit what David could say in the Spirit of God, though he was caught in his sin. My sin's before me, but speaking in the first person, I know, he said, where he stood. I thank God he became a man. Like Brother Branham said in here, it's going to dawn us one of these days. He became us that we might become him. Yes, sir. On every hand they have their dogma and their creeds. What God you worship? It's God of three gods? You worship one God. Jesus was the all of it. Sure, because the whole thing was in him. When you saw him, you saw it all. And I'm glad he wasn't associated with angels. He says, angels, do my will. Go on there and help that poor old Baal down there. He's just a big-mouthed bird. Just going on and help him anyway. See, that's good. There's no stumblebum. I got angels helping me. But God identified with man. He never took upon himself the nature of angels. He took upon himself the form of man. Not becoming sinful flesh, but looking just like the real. Just like sinful flesh. There he was. See? But they got two gods, three gods. You show me. People, that don't you see what Brother Branham said was a showdown? It's over the word, brother, sister. It's over the word. It's so simple, it's fooled them all. They're looking for a great big showdown. The showdown is over. Amen. There's only one showdown left, and that's Mount Zion, but that's the rapture. They'll be scurrying around wondering when it's too late. We don't want to be in that crowd. No, sir. No, there's just one thing, brother, sister. That's that word that comes. As I said at the start, we used to come to church one time, and we were just too anxious to get the preaching over, so we'd get around that altar and start really feeling good. Praying, you know, well, I think that's wonderful to praise the Lord. We ought to praise the Lord even more than we're doing. That's fine. That's great, but my goodness me, when you can find a heathen going to a witch doctor thinking he is actually coming to God and getting a healing that makes him happy, and he's still lost and will be in the judgment of death because he got something from God and then didn't worship him. See, brother, sister, we got to know God. We got to worship in spirit and in truth. See, I got the spirit and he got the truth. It didn't say spirit without truth, the truth of spirit. That was the old Baptists used to say years ago. They had the truth and not the spirit. And I want to tell you one thing. I've been amongst Southern Baptists, bless God, who had a whole lot more spirit, looked like in Pentecost. I go to Pentecostal church and they're so dead now that you couldn't have a hallelujah in a carload. I can go to some Baptist church and they're praising the Lord just day and night and having a great time. But where I've got to be in the word by the spirit. Word without spirit won't work. And spirit without word won't work, because, see, God can be among us right tonight here doing signs and wonders. Huh? You believe that? Does that ever bother you sometimes when you see these things and makes you wonder? Now, I'm going to quit right now. Don't worry. This is the last thing I'm going to show you. It says here in this book, you said it is vain to serve God. Huh? You look around and say, well, I see these fellas out here and the way they're living and the way they've got gift ministries and God's amongst them. Said, boy, what am I doing humbling myself and pulling a long face in my fasting and my praying and trying to live right? Oh, man, I haven't had one answer. These guys get carloads. So what do? You get a little funny, you get a spirit on you, don't you? I've been all through this. It's vain to serve God. What profit do we keep his ordinances? We walk mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. That's in this day going on here. That's in this day. See, the greatest authority since Christ himself standing this earth, as I told you last time, I'm thinking, maybe the time before, wasn't it, this pulpit here? Up in Portland, Maine, Brother Branham and I watching Brother Oral Roberts on TV. He called me in the room. There we stood looking. Saw the thousands, saw the multitudes going to Brother Roberts' tent meeting. See Brother Branham stand there and weep because he knew he had more authority than all of them put together, and he didn't dare use it. Saw those men like that. Now listen, I got nothing against God ministering, see. God is amongst his people. He's amongst them. Sure, he's amongst his people. Sure, he'll do signs and wonders. That's what he said, and he's doing it right today. Your first example was back there in the days of Moses. And remember, he had it first. Then when the rest came in, it wasn't under the word. It was under a sign ministry, and it led people astray. Right from the word, they took them. Right from that word, they took them. And that's what these men are doing. And here's Brother Robert saying, now, ladies, just do your hair real pretty. And I don't know if you should cut or not, because that's not maybe scriptural, but I want you to dress a certain way, like, you know, be modern. You go in there now and fingernails all painted and eyebrows all done and everything like that. Well, maybe that's all right, too. I don't know. But you see, if you play around with short hair, you know you're wrong right there. Unequivocally, it says you don't dare cut that. Unequivocally, the Bible distinguishes as the Holy Ghost gives gifts to whom he wants. But they tell people, now come on, pray and fast and get those gifts. Just dig in there and make God give it to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We looked at that TV screen and you could see them going down there by the hundreds. I tell you, there was a way, though, to see God move in Brother Branham's ministry. And I say this to the glory of God. It was in Ohio, in Lima, Ohio. When Brother Branham came, I was in a little town outside of that area. And he said, I'll come to your church. And I said, no, it wouldn't be fair. You come to my church. It's just a tiny church. You never hold the crowds. It wouldn't be worthwhile. But I said, let me get you a building in Lima. When I said that, just like a light flashed across me, he said, that's it, Lima, we're going to. And in that meeting, we had prayed for weeks and weeks and weeks until we got to prayer, to a chain prayer of hours and hundreds of hours of prayer. And it was believing prayer. Because when Brother Branham came, there wasn't one prayer that was left unanswered. We prayed for God to stagger them under conviction until they held on the benches. They held on the benches. They would have fallen to the ground. We prayed until we believed that Brother Branham, picking them out of the audience, they'd be healed. I don't know of one case out of hundreds that wasn't healed as he picked them out. And one night, for the first and last time, the gift of healing went into operation. And there were 50 miracles in 50 minutes. In 1957. But that wasn't because there was any organization or anybody trying to put on a sideshow. No, sir. It was because people prayed and loved God and honored his servant and wanted to be right. And there was nothing but holding up that man before God. And God did those great works. Sure he did. But there was no perverting word either, brother, sister. He stood right up with that word. See? Yes, there is a way to see God move. Sure, according to the word, God hasn't stopped moving, brother, sister, just because we see signs out here of God amongst these people, because these men, they got more signs than you know, than Brother Branham had. He, as I say, he wept when he saw it. He said, I could have that, but he said, God won't let me have that. You think he couldn't see multitudes heal? Boy, before he died, he said, Lee, I haven't lost a thing. The sign in the hand. The revelation. The vision, the power of ministry, that was not lost. The gifts and calling to God are without repentance. But what was it? He was under obedience to the word of God. See, out here now you say, yay, those that do wickedly are held up. Duke the widows. My, what a tearjerker it was when a certain great man, I suppose he's the greatest man in America now, his businessman wrote up a little story about him having gone to Chicago, and there, a dear old Indian man, had nothing but $1,500 of their old age pension or whatever it was, hell, you know, in a little old attic up there, and they were going to give it all to God. Now, if Brother Branham had taken that money, they'd have bombed him as the biggest charlatan and the biggest crook and money monger. And why, you've got around America, they try to say that Brother Branham has a ranch in Colorado, a big ranch with cattle. Somebody tried to give him 6 or 7 acres and he turned it down. That's a big ranch with cattle. Well, I can get a ranch that big. I can go someplace and get 6 or 7 acres or 50 cents an acre. They still got it. Might be just a hair of desert, but I can still get it. Put a few bed bugs on and call the cows or something. My God, have pity. What's married people? But they'll hold up the wicked ones. The same man that said that will hold up the wicked ones. And say, that man's got to be a God, bless God, because after all, Brother Branham petered out. Brother Branham didn't peter up. He petered out. He petered up, bless God. The wicked out there are held up. And they that do wickedly are healed. See? My. How come? That takes discernment, Brother Sister. I'm going to tell you right now, if it weren't for the prophet of God, William Brown, the Elijah for this day, that's the body Elijah this day, because Christ himself, the spirit, was the spirit Elijah, see? If it weren't for that man, we wouldn't understand this. I couldn't be up here preaching that night. You know where I'd be? I don't know where I'd be tonight except for this message. As far as I'm concerned, I would have maybe quit by now. See? Thank God. Thank God that which is perfect, that word has come. Thank God we're putting it on, brother, sister. And one of these days there's going to be a reverse process. As God put that cherubim before the tree of life so they couldn't get to it, now, one of these days, we're going to walk right into it. You say, Brother Bales, you be? I sure do believe it. My hope is built on nothing less than that. Sure. I got no problem. I'm sold on it. I don't have to sit in the fence anymore and wonder which way I'm going to fall. Bless God, I know one thing. I know which way I'm determined to fall. And if God has other plans and I'm not ordained to that bride, then I'll have to go the other way. But as far as I know, humanly speaking, I believe to that end, I know which way I've fallen already. It's right in this message. I've said it and I'll say it again. If I were to leave and become a pastor in some church, and I knew nothing at all about the end time messages I know tonight, I would be duty bound to accept what this man has taught on the Word, because to me it's the only thing that'll fit the Word. The only thing that'll make sense. Nothing else. I couldn't have a church and teach any doctrine, to the best of my knowledge, you want to line up with what he taught. It wouldn't work. See? Well, the Lord bless you. I hope that without getting to preach, I was going to preach on, can a man get angry? And be justified. Because a man did in the Bible. And there are some lessons in it, but we'll let it go tonight. But I hope now, if you've had some problems in your mind about what was said, because I talk very fast and sometimes say, put a great deal of material out, and many times we don't dwell long enough on one faith. But I hope now you understand, if there's any thought in your mind, well, my goodness me, I couldn't, if I was asked to be a deacon or something, I just wouldn't do that. No, you don't be afraid of that. No, don't be afraid of that. No, see, that's no problem any more than a woman say, well, I just got to be a man now. Ho, ho, watch it. That's real perversion, see. Women just fine the way you are, just fine. That's just perfect. Just be that way, see. If you're a deacon, just be a deacon. Or if you aspire to be one, you feel you could help, do it. Just do it. Don't you dare hold back, see. That's all right. And then wanted to show you what it is we're in today, brother. It's this real rich thing we're putting on. We're putting on this inner garment. It's not an outer garment. It's inner. See, this is going to stop wearing away one of these days. Brother Brown said, old Abraham looked in the mirror that morning, or maybe just rolled over and looked at. I think when he saw his wife, I bet he got out of bed in a hurry. He said, what's going on here? Beautiful. She looked at him, she'd wonder. She said, my, must be in the wrong house. What's going on here? So many years since they had realized how young they looked. Well, if I was 90 years, I wonder if my wife would recognize me as what I would look if I turned back to when I first knew her, the age of about 22, and I was 90, 100 years old. The difference. Will you just be startled? My, what a great thing God's doing. Amen. The Lord bless you. I'm told I'll just dismiss you, so let's rise and be dismissed. If you still got questions on the subject, just write me a question. Hand it in Sunday morning and make it very pointed so I can find out what you're missing. And I'll be glad to do anything I can to help you. Because to me, these things are so necessary. And so by layman, let's be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our life. And Lord, we thank you that not only is he our life, although that would encompass it all, that he is our revelation. And tonight we are walking in a revelation. And Lord, we know that this revelation is what it really counts. The simplicity of it. This is going to bring it into reality. For you have shown us only too well, my God, that it takes a revelation to bring about power. We, Lord, have thought that if we had power, that would do it. But it was a power, Lord, which has ended up with you being amongst your people. and the wicked that do wickedly are built up before the world. And those attempt God to deliver. And we found ourselves, Lord, in an untenable position. And as the prophet of God said, so completely screw it up. Absolutely in a ridiculous position, wondering what is it all about. Anyway, confusion reigning supreme. But now, we're going down a path right shortly to know as we are known. Going down this path of revelation, hallelujah. The full revelation of our bridegroom. The full revelation of our Lord. They're our mate, the revealed word. And Father, I know tonight, and you know my heart, and if I'm like these people and they're like me, we've only got one hope. And that is, Lord, that this is exactly right. Because, Lord, we've given up trying. We've given up trying to produce or be something. Lord, we simply cannot look forward to turning here or to turning there. Tonight, oh God, we're like people with their feet stuck in the quicksand. And we've just got our eyes riveted on you, the revealed one. And Lord, if you don't do it for us, there isn't anything going to be done. You're our hope. And Lord, I believe if any people ever felt locked up to God, we at this end time, in this age of complete anarchy and refusal of the word, Lord, if anybody needed the revelation of the Spirit of God to bring us into that relationship, this is the people. We're that people, Lord. And humbly, as sweetly as we can, as your prophet told us, we're just going to have faith. Only believe what was brought to us. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Just be dismissed.